Good morning. I almost imagine the book of Jonah is a book on learning to love as God does. There's a story in preparation I'd like to share that may illustrate what we're going to learn in today's chapter. 10 years ago, the IDO, the International Director's Office of Pioneers, decided to set up the International Director's Office in the field in Thailand. Originally, it had been in an office, a mobilization office, in the States or in Europe. But they decided that they were going to put the office finally in the field, and so they decided on Thailand. Many organizations had done so as well. Joe and I were part of this first initiative of pioneers, and so we went with the International Director's Office into Thailand. And after a number of years, we began noticing that various leaders within the pioneers movement, for various reasons, had come into Thailand. Maybe it was a health issue and they were using the hospitals in Thailand. Maybe it was a visa issue. They got kicked out of the country they were serving, so they were going temporarily in Thailand because the director's office was there. A number of issues. Leaders from different parts of the world were coming and temporarily docking with the office in Thailand. But the problem was that it became difficult for some of these families to then go back to the places where they were. And they began staying a little bit too long around the International Director's Office. I was having a Thai lesson with a wonderful Christian, a Thai sister named Krugung. And she was teaching me Thai, and she was sharing with me her experience as a young Christian. She had grown up in a small village just to the southeast of Chiang Mai in northern Thailand, very small village. And she said as a child, she remembers a missionary couple moving to this tiny village and spending all of their lives there, becoming a part of the community, developing a church, being a part of the Thai family there. And she just remembers with joy that time she had with those missionaries. But she said, I've been noticing as I've been teaching Thai, and many of them to missionaries, that the missionaries coming today are a little bit different than the missionaries that were going out before. She said, the missionaries today that are coming are living in gated communities. They're going to Western expensive restaurants, and you know, they're making the most out of the benefits of being in Thailand like tourists. And she began to wonder, you know, are missionaries coming to Thailand because they love Thailand or because they love the Thai and want to develop the Thai? Now, when she told me that, I was just so embarrassed. And I was just even more determined to separate myself from any organization that was doing that and commit myself more with the Thai Bible college I was working at. But it stuck with me. I think it revealed something in us, not just the missionaries, but in all of us. There is this tendency to like to receive love instead of giving love. Giving love is very hard. Receiving love is a joy. And there's that temptation in our hearts not to follow a Father, a Heavenly Father, who is love, and rather just be underdeveloped children and just receive love. And I think that's what we're going to see in this last passage, this last chapter of Jonah. Well, we've seen in the life of Jonah some development, I think. He was told by God to go to Nineveh. He ran away. And God disciplined him. And then he put him back on the journey to go to Nineveh. And Jonah is going. He's not perfect. He's like us. He's learning. He's not perfect yet. But he's on his way to Nineveh, and he preaches, and God shows mercy. and he's angry. And he prays to the Father in his anger. It's better. Before, he just ran away from the Father. Now at least he's sharing his feelings with the Father. And the Father is gentle enough to hear him out and to begin to teach him how to follow the Lord, how to follow love. Let's unpack today's passage and see what happens. It says, he prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." Jonah knew this from the very beginning, how incredibly compassionate God was to even the wicked Ninevites who had tormented Israel, murdered Israelites, treated harshly other countries as well. In Jonah's mind, he's thinking, how could God show mercy to these people? But he knows God. He knows that that's what God does. He judges, but then relents, and then shows mercy. And now God has called him to show mercy. And Jonah, even though he's following the Lord, is angry. But he knew God was a God of compassion. And I think that illustrates how difficult it is to follow a God who defines himself as love. God's word and his spirit. When you're that close to the Lord and in his spirit, it's so difficult. It's so difficult. There's a great chasm between God's love and our love. But being a compassionate God, God's working with Jonah, and he says, "Is it right for you to be angry?" What I find so encouraging about this, God doesn't treat Jonah just with logic. He doesn't say, "Of course I'm merciful." Remember that theologically, this is who I am, right? God treats Jonah just as a father would treat a child. He goes right to the emotion first. He says, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Like a father to a child. Secondly, the second passage. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed up the plant so that it withered. And here we find God, the good, patient, caring, merciful Father that he is now teaching Jonah through an illustration, the leafy plant. But patience. And he says, God causes this leafy plant to grow and provide shade for Jonah. And Jonah's, as a child, he's happy. He's comforted. He's receiving the love of his father. And so he's pleased. But then God decides to take away the plant. And a worm comes and eats it up. And then Jonah finds himself again uncomfortable and angry. And God a second time asks the question, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Now, clearly, if God's repeating things twice, it means that we as children, we need repetition from our Father to get our attention before he gives us his lesson. And so God has provided Jonah with an illustration through a plant, and he's asked the question again, clearly to focus Jonah on himself. Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And then the last section, verse 10 and 11. But the Lord said, You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And shall I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people and so many animals under their care? God reveals that Jonah has no right to be angry. He can be angry at the Ninevites when God is angry at the Ninevites. But he can't be angry at the Ninevites when God tells him to show mercy. Because the Ninevites don't belong to Jonah. The Ninevites belong to God, and they're his children. God is caring over the Ninevites every day, every second, has, and will continue. He is the one who can decide when to judge and when to show mercy. God is showing Jonah that he shouldn't think too highly of himself so as to decide who deserves judgment and who deserves mercy. Jonah is a prophet, a child. And as a child, the father calls him to go about doing his will, because it is him and him alone who loves and cares and shows that love each day by providing and looking over his creation. Did Jonah have a right to be angry? No. But as a child, he's like us. We have children's hearts as well that are being developed by our Father. Sometimes we get angry when we shouldn't be angry, when God's told us to be merciful. But the good news that we see in this passage is that God is bringing and will bring out his glory through his children, and he will teach his children all of his ways. He will teach his children the difficulty but glory of his love. What's our application for today? We do know his will, just as Jonah did. We know his will for us. But it's difficult. We have to admit it. We had a Baptist cluster group meeting last week. A number of pastors in the area met here at the church, and we were talking about outreach. And so we talked about what each of the churches were doing to reach out to the community. We talked about food trucks. We talked about events that were happening. Food banks as well that churches were doing. But we all, it seemed, struggled to know how to reach into our communities. Someone had said, well, it's difficult to tell people about Jesus in our communities because New Zealanders are anti-Christian. They're post-Christian. There was a phrase for it. New Zealanders want nothing to do with spirituality. But in the end, each of us, after our discussion, came to the point that we couldn't hide from the fact that Jesus had commanded us, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." When each of us were looking at this passage, we began questioning, what can we do to love our neighbors by sharing with them Jesus? And one of the answers we got was, what if we just share our story? rather than convincing them about Christianity being better than others, let's just share with them our own story about how Jesus came into our lives. And we began thinking of other ideas as well. A basic idea, but seeing God's word, being reminded of God's word, as Jonah was reminded as well. We began trying to sharpen one another to figure out ways that we could walk into God's love for the world by sharing his precious gift, his son. Secondly, I think this has been a theme of mine. We have to recognize our immaturity, that we're brothers and sisters in process. None of us are perfect. All of us, to some degree, are like Jonah. We get disciplined and we start following the Father a little bit more, but we're all in process. And I think this is important because we also have to realize that we like receiving love, but giving love is quite a challenge. So as we look at missions for the upcoming month, the temptation in my heart that I try to crush as soon as I feel it, when you talk about missions, you talk about the unending need, it seems, and the little resources we have, and the great need in the world, and there never seems to be an end point. But God's given us the day, and he's given us this upcoming month to focus on missions. And our hearts will be tempted to be to rest in immaturity and say, you know what? It's too difficult. I'm not really excited. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I won't. Maybe I won't pray. Maybe I won't get involved. But I think we have to recognize that God will be working in our hearts. We don't have to look down on our hearts when we do that, but we will know that this upcoming month, God will be working in our hearts and saying, as God said to Jonah, is it right for you to despair about missions? Is it right for you to be angry about an appeal? Is it right for you to feel this way about the mercy I want to extend and give through you? So as brothers and sisters, I think it's important for us to realize our immaturity and yet God's love to bring us from immaturity to greater maturity in Christ. And finally, let's submit to God's love. There are many definitions of love that we hear in the world, but only God is love. Many people can say, I love this or I love that, but only God can define what love really is. I had shared a story some time ago. I'll share it again because it's an important one in my life. I was working in Japan teaching English to wonderful, energetic, crazy kids. It was a fantastic time. In the middle of my class, I got a phone call from my brother, my older brother. I never get calls from my older brother. Never get calls from my older brother unless something tragic's happened in the family. He tells me, Brian, something's happened. And I'm thinking, my grandfather maybe has passed away because he was very ill. And he says, our father's passed away unexpectedly. I was so shocked. I just didn't know what to say. I did my best to finish that class, and I taught a few other classes. I was numb. But after the end of the school day, I went up to the chapel. My class was in a church. I went up to the chapel, and I began talking to God. And I said, God, one thing that worried me about my father was I just didn't want him to die alone. I wanted him to be with people, family. And I said, God, I just pray that he was with someone, that he wasn't by himself. Here I am all the way in Japan, other side of the world. And as I began praying, God started speaking to my heart. And he said, Brian, I'm the only one who loves your father. And God was the only one who was with my father every day of his life. God knew my father when he was born and all the way to the point where he went to be with him. God provided for him at every moment. And in that knowledge that God is a God who is the only one who loves and the only one who was there for my father gave me peace. I think that's the message from Jonah as well. We can think we love, but only a father who provides and protects and sustains every day can define that for us. And he calls us into maturity to stop rejoicing in being loved so much as to walk with him in loving to others. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We praise you because you are love. We praise you because you never sleep or tire. We praise you because you provide. Where our love dries up and we stop providing for others, yours never does. You're merciful, kind, compassionate. So, Father, we praise you. We praise you for the way you provide for each of us, the way you know us, the way you're intimately involved in our lives, even when we don't realize it. We praise you, Father, for you are love. And Father, we give you, we remember the hymn we sang to you that we're the clay and you're the potter. So Father, we ask that you would, we welcome your hand in our lives to shape us, to call us to follow you, to follow love. Father, we as a congregation consider the missions appeal. Father, we pray that you would give us, we praise you as you'll be building in our hearts desire to follow you and to support in prayer and finances and whatever is needed, your work in extending mercy to the world. Father, may you be glorified through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.